It's 12:20. Hello.
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
I want to make a point too, but before I go to my point, I want to say this to you. I like the Prime Minister of Trinidad, Keith Rowley. I think he's a great Prime Minister.
You heard the exchange between him and the police commissioner?
That will lead not to.
Wow.
But I must tell you, I really admire that commissioner of police.
Wow.
I mean, he is one of the people, he is very, very fearless. And I believe we need more people like him in top positions as far as the, leaders are concerned. He just is a fearless man, and I admire him every step of his way. I listen to the experience. I can't believe, we need politicians, people in those positions to be more open and speak their mind. Now, let me say this to you, David. And a matter of fact, I say this to the Guyanese people who are living here in Barbados. I want these Guyanese people in Barbados to understand that when they hear that Trinidadian woman, she do not at all have any appreciation for the Guyanese. So I want them to take everything she said with a pinch of salt. David, I can remember this is one of the same persons who licked the Guyanese people in this country left, right, and center when Oinafo was letting them come in this country. She was bitterly against the decision, and every Guyanese she had a serious problem with. So much so that I can remember his own, you and Alan Moderator told that it appears, as though she believes she is the only person with a foreign accent who should come to Barbados. But the pendulum now changed, David. In spite of all the concern and the love that she's shown to these Guyanese people, this population growth now can show up her full colors. Because she bitterly against not only Guyanese, but other people coming to this country. When she heard the Prime Minister speak about 85,000 people coming to Barbados. And I know her concerns. I could put my life to it. Her concerns are mostly about the Guyanese people who may are likely to come into Barbados because of this population growth. That is her main concern. She basically against
Guyanese people. Well, she has a mouth of her own and she can speak for herself. You know, she really can. So I don't want you to speak for her.
Yeah, but I know that's her main concern, you know, and it sure know that if she, I could concern, I modified my opinion, I believe she has a two-edged sword. But this topic now, this discussion of population growth, can show up her true colors as far as nationalist Guyanese Barbados is concerned. And I hope, as I say, the Guyanese people who are listening to her, will take every word with a great pinch of salt coming from her, David. I thank you.
All right, sir. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. Mr. Ellis?
Yes, hi.
Yes, please. Hi, how are you today?
I'm okay.
Okay, I am just calling. This is the lady that spoke to you Friday in connection with the stove.
Yes.
Yes, please. So I'm just calling you to let you know and to thank you for your assistance and for all of the other callers that also told
me what
I should do. I got a replacement. And everything is okay, sir. So I wish to thank you so very, very much for listening to me and for your radio program.
All right, ma'am.
Okay, you thank you again. So do have a good day.
Thank you.
What? This is I who is on?
Yes.
Wow, I never heard any beep at all. Top of the day to you.
Yes, sir.
I basically have two suggestions, both coming from today's program, believe it or not. I just want to make the point that Barbados' population is 287,448 as at September the 14th this year. Singapore has a population of about 6 million people. Its land space is not much bigger than that of Barbados. Ronald Jones, former education minister, was not the first person to talk of our underpopulation since he followed my pronouncements on the subject.
You're not the only person either. You're not the first.
I am pretty. That's why I didn't say I was the first. The Trinidadian woman's contribution has always been to attack immigrants of Indian descent, and maybe by extension others as well. I was very pleased with the way you dealt with her today, because I think she's gone too far, and has been going too far for a long time.
I am going to tell you that at the height of the problem with the Guyanese, some years back here in Barbados, it put tremendous pressure on me to try to maintain a situation that did not incite some kind of negative activity out there in the community. I remember people feeding back to me attention out there, coming out of a lot of the stuff that was being said, not just on the air, but on the air and on the ground. And we have to be exceedingly careful how we play with these matters. It is not like that, no. But I can tell you that there was a period when it was very, very difficult. You know?
Yes. Now, my next point, which is to me the biggest one of all, back in 2000, the Barbados government, through the National Housing Corporation, built 45 lots in an area, and I now occupy one of them as the owner, as a matter of fact. Now, of those 45 lots, there was no playground or convenience store accommodated there whatsoever. Now, my biggest concern of the 45 lots is that three lots were sold some 20 years ago, and to this day, not a structure of any kind has taken place. And one only has to understand when paying for the lots, and then the draconian land tax.
You may have to come back to us after the news, because we're too close to expand on this right now. So let's go to the latest news, and you can come back to me then. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. A couple of messages that I must share with you. This person wants to know what kind of message we are sending to people about eating and drinking healthy, when a liter of juice is for between $7.40 and $8, and you're getting alcoholic beverages at 5 for 10. One can of luncheon meat costs $4.85, and a sweet pepper costs $4. Another person raises a question here about respiratory drugs in Barbados, and it really makes us ask the government whether there is a problem, a shortage of any of these drugs. This person is asserting that there's a severe shortage of respiratory drugs, that a shipment was due for the last 3 months, and therefore we need to perhaps put that question to the health authorities. Another person says, my issue with letting in all of these people is that they are draining our health system. Mr. Bostic is allowing the CARICOM and non-CARICOM people to come and receive free health care, and I can't go to any of those countries and receive the same treatment. So all my taxpayers' money is supporting them. The thing is, most of them don't contribute. But Bajans who come for tests privately must pay, which is wrong, because at the end of the day, they're still contributing to our system. This person says it upsets them. One of the points, though, you need to bear in mind, if a person is living in Barbados and they're sick and they are not properly attended to, a simple thing like COVID right now, right? It has implications for us. And in addition to that, people in Barbados pay direct and indirect taxes. So when you say that all of your taxpayers' money, many times those people are also paying taxes too. They go to the supermarket. They go, you know, they buy things. They have to pay VAT. So it comes across as being a bit unfair from my vantage point, where people are paying taxes in a country, but they will still have to pay for all their health care. To me, that doesn't make sense. And I've been supportive of that move on the part of the government. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yes, Mr. Ellis, I'm back with you.
Yes, you talk about all sorts of issues, but I don't hear you talking about this banking problem that we got here.
Well, this is my last point that I have asterisk to speak with you about.
Mm-hmm.
So just let me finish off the housing business, and I will come to that for you. And let me thank you for allowing me to make my points as well. Now, I had said earlier that there were 45 lots, of which 42 were houses that were completed on this side of the development where I occupy one. But just across the road, with a similar development, there were over 100 houses sold. Now, neither the 100 lots or the 45 lots were allowed to have even a convenience store or a playground. And I think that is wrong, because the people on both sides have children. Where are they to play? Anyway, let me make the point here, which is the substantial point. When people go to these housing fairs and buy a lot, bear in mind they do not occupy that lot. That lot has to be separate from where they live, which means that when the land tax kicks in, they're going to be paying a whole lot of money on top of what they're paying the bank for the lot. And that discourages people then to go and seek another loan to build a house. So I think it is a bad policy for the government to be asking people to buy lots rather than to build lots and sell the whole thing to people one time. Because to me, that is the better way to go about it. Now, let me now mention the banks. The bank charges, and you alluded to it earlier yourself, is now equivalent to not 30% or not 300%, but it is equivalent to 3,000%. And I hope people understand that. Now the Central Bank of Barbados just recently made it known that people who are old age pensioners, people over 65, I think is the point they were making, will not have any bank charges of any kind to make to banks. So I want to know if that is going to affect those of us who are over 65. I would love for somebody to come and explain that to me, because I cannot follow why I would need a bank card that would bring in 3,000% charges to the bank. And for example, if you have $100 in the bank, you don't even get more than 10 cents in the dollar in interest, if you get it at all. So there's something not right about that picture, as far as I am concerned.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon, whatever.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm okay.
Okay. First thing, did you consider what I said to you last week?
What was that, huh?
Man, I told you last week, last time me, you have a discussion, I said, Brother Ellis, I want to come, I want to gain more knowledge, I want to come with Mark Williams, and I want to come in the studio there and sit beside you, and because you're a fairly bright man, very bright man, and I want to gain some knowledge from you.
You know that we had a panel on today, you know that they spoke with us via Zoom, We bring very few people into the studios right now, you know.
Ellis, they want to come, they want to sit beside you, sitting beside you.
Well, wait till coronavirus goes and I will then consider that.
Miss Ellis, you will get the corona, man, with corona, you tell people, you will get the corona.
Are you going to go, you will have to, first of all, await a vaccine for coronavirus. And once that be clear, that hurdle, then I will give consideration. But I am giving you no more of a promise.
You do everything to keep me out, but I can get the vaccine, and I can get back to you when I get the vaccine. All right. Three little quick news here today. Miss Ellis, why some supermarkets have the plastic bags at 10 cents? Then you go to others. They're 30 cents. And the same plastic bag, you know, Mr. Ellis, same quality, it can, the one at 30 cents, and built in a way that it can hold 5 tins of corned beef, and the other one at 10 cents can only hold 2 tins of corned beef. Same plastic bags. That's why I said a couple of months ago on your program, we need to do, like years ago, bring back up these shop inspectors. Need to get more vigilant with shop inspectors. Let me hear your intake about that first one.
No, I have nothing to say about it.
Master something, eh? People listen to you.
I want to hear you instead.
No, but I want to listen to you because I complain about the item a day and they're playing the fool. So if they hear your opinion, they might say, well, listen, we gotta change we concepts about these things. No, serious.
And what's your other point?
So you read it. Anyhow, all right, let me back my second one. Now, I got away, Mr. Ellis, because these people, you know, I'm a very advocate man when it comes to law. And I'm very harsh in my punishment. Sometimes you disagree with me, but I still stand to my harsh punishments in law because I see that's the only way you can get crime cleaned up. No. I got a smart man running in more money to treasury. Many buses. This morning about 6 o'clock I was on the road. Right in front of the clinic in Black Rock, there's a layby. The minibus stopped right in the center of the road. I blow my horn long because I was angry. You know what I mean? And you know, not just because it's 6 o'clock, Mr. Ellis, in the morning, don't think that just because it's 6 o'clock in the morning, don't they? They do it all throughout the day. These people cares nothing about you. You know, they don't know if you're going to give your mother an injection because she's diabetic. They don't know if you're rushing to get a phone call. Your mother's sick. You got to get there. They care about themselves, and we have to. The laborers are there. The laws in Barbados is really laying down. They need to wake up. The pass and rules, if a cop see these guys not pulling into the area, you're going straight to the court. $500 for this. $500 for this. And if it keep on going on and going on for another 2 months or 3 months and they see, and keep it quiet, mom, move it from $500 to $1,000. Stop making sport. These guys is roadhogs and they got to realize that they're wanting using the roads of Barbados.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon.
12:57. Yes, good afternoon, ma'am.
This is my first time calling in.
Yes.
I call in because I was calling the place that clean the drainage and I can't get any satisfaction, so I decided we'll call in on the program. They have a well in Carrington Village for the past 15 years they haven't got clean and it's open, right? And all the water, all the scents is affecting the neighbors down here. So when I call, they say they will send somebody. Partly every other week I call, they take information, they say they will send somebody. And up to now, that well was open since last year. And it haven't got clean over 15 years now. I would like somebody from the drainage to come and do something. It really won't clean. It's in the Gully Hill, Carrington Village, near to the Aubrey Grant Pavilion. I speak to the gentleman there that is in charge, and he promised me he would send somebody the next day, and up to now they haven't sent anybody. So I'm pleading, hope somebody from the Ministry of Transport hear me, and they really send somebody. It's open. It's an open well. It needs cleaning out, and it needs a slab to go over it.
Okay.
So I can't do no more. I decided I will hear my complaint on the radio. If they can't hear, this morning was the last time I called there. They take information. When I call the phone, they're saying, leave a message. The person is not there. So I would like somebody to come help me get clean since over 15 years. And it's open, and it needs to be clean.
All right, ma'am.
Thank you.
I hope they hear you and that you get some action out of it. Down to brass tacks, who is next in line?
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
I'm well.
Yeah, in regards to the statement made with the population of Barbados and the need for people, or as some would say, the need not for more people, I think there's something been happening globally that has been drawn to my attention with the birth of the LGB and the lesbian and gay community. Throughout the recent years, the growth, the population growth in several countries has gone down because of people's choices of sexes and same-sex relationships,
yes,
and stuff like that. That is a major contribution to the lack of population growth. The other factor is the understanding of the Family Planning Association that was introduced to Barbados several years ago has been in some ways a two-edged sword, because it has deterred a lot of people from making babies. So now we here face a situation with COVID where lots of people are dying, and then there was HIV also thrown in there that hindered a lot of people from copulating and stuff like that. But I think what the main thing here is our youth today, or people around 25 to 30 years old, that we would have expect to have children or think of having a family, are now detoured with choices such as same-sex marriages, same-sex relationship. So that has hampered the population growth in a very, very big way that a lot of people will not really want to see it my way or agree with me. But yeah,
but you still have a sizable world population, and the real issue is if you're going to look for 80,000 people, how many of these are going to be black people? Are they going to come from the Caribbean? Are they coming from Africa?
Yeah.
Then are there Indians? And if they're Indians, where are they coming from? Are they Chinese? The balance. Are they Muslims? How many? You know, all of these are the types of concerns.
You just draw a very interesting and important scenario there. Let's take the Chinese, for example. I would imagine, I don't have a figure offhand, but I would imagine there's about maybe 4,000 Chinese living in Barbados at the present moment, and they will soon start to multiply, and they do multiply in big numbers. That's another area. I really don't have a problem with which nationality or color, but
other people will.
Say that again, sorry?
Other people will.
Yeah, I agree and accept it.
It's not it is a controversial issue.
It is a controversial issue.
No,
now, coming closer to home, in terms of our Caribbean community, there was somebody made a statement earlier that the other people coming to Barbados get medical assistance, but we can't really get a medical assistance from those places. What I've been seeing here in recent times is a heavy flow of Jamaican females looking for a better, well,
life.
Yeah, for a better life. Let's leave it there for now. And they have been coming in droves, and they're not contributing, and they're not even in a system in some way.
Well, I don't know the numbers, and
yeah,
I can't say they're not contributing, because you get the impression.
Most of them are in the sex trade, so that's a different program altogether. Then we have the Haitians.
And there are men out there who will tell you that they're making a contribution
in
that regard.
Yeah, I guess you will. But then we also have now the Haitians on the other side. Haiti at the present moment.
We stop that program, though. We started that.
You know,
there are some things that we do with the best of intentions, but then we realize that it is not as easy as all that. I mean, nobody isn't telling you, for instance, we brought the Ghanaian nurses in and the Cuban nurses in, but you see, there's no analysis right now of how they've settled in. and the language issues and that sort of thing. You set about to achieve one thing, but you will have these initial obstacles that,
exactly.
that will arise. Now, perhaps you run a program in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital to teach more nurses to speak Spanish, I suppose, and that you may be able to get another effect out of that.
Yeah.
But,
well,
anyhow, I have
here a couple of things that I kind of, you know, was thinking about on the subject today, mm-hmm. and I think that some of them are pretty hardcore, but they're realities.
Yes.
And we, as a small country, I see us as a small country with big heads, and we got dreams and positive plans for our future.
You have to be looking ahead at what is required to spur the country in its development. And
yeah.
That is, and some hard choices sometimes have to be made in that regard.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And amidst a lot of other obstacles, that financial situation of the world at the present moment is in tatters. And as they say, when they sneeze, we catch a cold. So making children and trying to increase the population, that is one that we got to be very good.
One makes so many children, though. You know, a lot of people in Barbados are not about making any, no large families, four children or five children. It's too much already.
My grandmother had 9 children, right?
Well, and life was tough.
I mean, you're going to see that come back in this time, not in our lifetime.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution. We're joined now by Senator Caswell Franklin. Good afternoon, Mr. Franklin. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon, David. How are you?
I'm okay.
I am grateful for you allowing me to join your program today because it might stop me from getting some calls.
Okay.
And it's what they call about the last time, severance pay under these new regulations.
Mm-hmm.
People got to stop giving advice if they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I'm speaking to even some of the unions. This piece of legislation came before Parliament was passed in short order. Most of the parliamentarians didn't know what it said. I complained about a few sections because I was familiar with the Severance Payments Act and I knew a few things that, because that is my trade. That's one of the tools of my trade. I said on this program that once you had a year, now these people have restricted for 4 weeks, to claim your severance pay. And they're going to explain to you why I said that. Normally, if you are laid off, you were laid off for 13 weeks continuously or 16 weeks in a six-month period, you could claim your severance from your employer. But that is where you have to terminate your services and claim severance pay. You always had 4 weeks. Initially, you always had 4 weeks. Mind you, if you did not claim within those 4 weeks, you can still go to the tribunal for up to a year. This Amendment Act says Section 38 of the Principal Act does not apply to claims made under these amendments. That doesn't sound troublesome because Section 38 doesn't apply to what? Until you find out what Section 38 is. Section 38 is the section that gives the tribunal power to hear matters. So if you cannot now go to the tribunal, where will you go? So essentially, the government has taken severance pay from a year and restricted it for 4 weeks after you claim your layoff. And that is the problem. Most people do not know what Section 38 says. Some of them criticize me. I do not care what people criticize me, but I'm right. And I'm absolutely right in this regard. You cannot go to the tribunal. Mind you, the Amendment Act was so rushed that they still have some references to the tribunal. But if you look at sections 6, I think it is, it says Section 38 of the Principal Act does not apply to claims made under these amendments. Now, if you cannot go to the tribunal and there is nowhere else to go, you only got a 4-week window to go to somebody. Outside of that 4-week window, what will happen? Now, let me tell you what will happen. You will go to the Severance Payments Tribunal, having been laid off between the 1st of March and the 30th of April, because this is the period that we are talking about, the 22-week period. Now, if you've been laid off in that period, you cannot go to the tribunal. So says the amendment. Now, even if this time passes, this regulation, this new amendment, still refers to you. You can't say, okay, now that the sun has set on this piece of legislation, things will go back to normal. No, they wouldn't go back to normal. Okay. It will stay so for you. For those people who are laid off.
What kind of pressure is that exerting on people?
Most people don't know, and some who hear about it are confused because they have been getting advice from other people, I'm not going to call the other people's names, who are telling them, no, the government, give us the assurance that they're not going to happen. I don't want assurances from the government. I want law. So far, the law that they have says you can't go to a tribunal because the tribunal does not, the case does not apply to the tribunal. You can't go to the tribunal. So if you are asking for assurances, and you know the assurance from government is like words in the wind.
You're getting a lot of people are coming to you on this?
Every day. Why do you think I decided to call you just now? I just came from a tribunal meeting. I just won. And I came in the office, and as it opened the door, the phone was ringing. Somebody was calling me about this same matter. They went to their doctor, and the doctor, I'm telling the doctor what's happening to me. The doctor telling them, call Caswell. The doctor called me to say if they can take. I said, look, I'm going to call the calling program today and say what I have to say so that people like this her patient would not be able, would not be misguided. If you do not claim within the 4 weeks after the 20 weeks have passed, there is nowhere else to go according to this legislation. If the government wants to change it, they have to change it within that 4 week period too. Because if the 4 week runs out, then the employers don't have any liability against them, and the government cannot amend the act and create a new liability on them. So it is incumbent upon the government to either fix the legislation before the 4 weeks run out, you know, or I don't know what. All these workers will not get anything. You imagine working for 30 years, and then all of a sudden, because government was trying to help out the employers, in this case, the hotel industry, that they took away the severance payment from everybody. This government, they cared. Remember, they had the slogan, this body cares, the next body cares. During the campaign, they ain't caring anymore because these are the very people who come and voted for them, and they didn't have any regard for what will happen to them.
There's the political dimension that you introduced there.
This is every dimension.
They don't care.
This was all about.
But somebody says here, they will need to claim within 4 weeks instead of lagging and waiting for a year. So this interpretation is that people sometimes waited too long. Your argument is that a lot of people don't know. So they will assume.
Hello.
Yes, your point is that a lot of them don't know. And because of that, they will assume that they have the year to work with, when indeed and in fact, they have this limited period.
Yeah, they don't have the year anymore. No, and then, see, the thing is, if you get laid off today, or if you lose your job today for redundancy, you will have a year now. But the people between the 1st of March and the 31st of the 30th of April, will not have the luxury of a year. And most people don't know because they didn't. They're saying Section 38 does not apply. Section 38 does not apply, and they don't know what Section 38 is. You have to read the original section to see that Section 38 is what gives the tribunal the power to hear matters. If you can't hear matters, who is going to? Mind you, the minister under this amendment is supposed to make regulations to deal with these. They have made none so far. None. It is not a priority. The workers' rights are not a priority for this government. It's as simple as that. Then one hotelier rushed out on Facebook and WhatsApp or whatever and said, oh, the government promised me this. The next week, they rushed to Parliament and the poorly drafted piece of legislation that took advantage of the workers. Now the workers are crying out, and I'm crying out on behalf of these workers. The government is doing nothing. They have to, because people will lose their severance, and some of them have lost it already because the 22 weeks gone. I know you have 4 weeks after that, and then some. I don't know what is happening.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining
David, there's one other. There's one other thing I want to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Principals at secondary schools. The government has transferred principals. I thought people, Ministry of Education. The people in the Ministry of Education does not have the power to transfer a principal from one school to the next. None. but they have been doing it for years. I am dealing with it now because a principal, that the principal came to me, and they found out to them that they don't have this authority. But they didn't know they don't have it. That authority vests in the prime minister, and only the prime minister. But some of these transfers are punitive. You have a problem with the principal, rather than deal with the problem, you transfer the problem to another school. This is madness. This is not how you run anything. If a person is creating problems, you deal with the problem. You don't transfer the problem. I am going to a meeting now, Mr. Ellis, so I'm not going to stay much longer. But it has to deal with these same things. We have to stop this nonsense and let the senior public officers learn the extent of their duties before they carry them out.
All right.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much.